Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now. It is Tuesday the 24th. It is another beautiful Tuesday evening here in Las Vegas. I am your host, Justin Griffiths, and this is the Racers Roundtable, where drivers, crews, and race officials, and just about anybody can come and talk about racing. Alongside me tonight, as always, the man on a mission, Gary Wyatt. How you doing, Gary?
What's happening?
You know, our busy month of March is ending.
Yes,
we only
is.
Have one more race before the end of our busy-ass month of March.
That's right, and then we look forward to others.
April 20th and 21st.
That's
after
right.
After that. So,
that's right. Hey, we might find a race in between then.
We'll see about that. If it goes like last weekend, we're not going to get.
You're exactly right. You're right.
Tonight we have the number 11 factory stock from the Las Vegas Motor Speedway Bullring. With us tonight is Rob P. How you doing, Rob? Welcome back.
I'm good. Thank you for having me again. Yeah, last weekend was
somebody's
very
volume was up.
Was very interesting.
Yeah, we unfortunately tried to go racing and it didn't work out. It didn't go as planned.
Not for us.
Yeah, for us it didn't go as planned.
That's true.
You got a second place out there this week, right?
I did. I couldn't catch him.
Say, Vinny.
He was gone. I tried. I've tried everything I could. I could not catch that guy.
Unfortunately, I seen the first five laps, and then my car pulled off, and
yep.
We loaded on the trail and left. We went to the stockyard and spent the rest of the night in the stockyard hanging out. So, but that was a race for you.
It was good. Like I said, I tried chasing him down. Actually, I was really impressed with the race totally because we didn't have we went green and then we went checker flag. We had no incidents. I was waiting for it. I was hoping to kind of get to bundle back up and get a better chance to chase him down a little better. But
yeah,
it was not going well for myself.
Well, at the start of the race, I was like, this could go really good or really bad. There was some mixed emotions and I seen the first five laps and everybody kind of like went single file. I was like, okay, that's going to be easy. But
yeah.
It was a pretty easy night. I don't think there was many wrecks in any of the races.
No.
I think it was a pretty clean night.
And then I seen they finally made the skid plates go backwards, if I seen that video properly.
Yes, they did. They did go backwards the final race of the night. They actually did a lot. I felt like they did a lot better.
Really?
Not so many
and
people
were
spinning
out. That was the second time they've done that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because when I was doing the skid plate, they kept saying they were going to do it.
Right.
They asked the crowd, and the crowd all cheered when they said, do you want the second main event for the skid plates to go backwards? And they went backwards, and I felt like everybody was way more cautious, so they all – I think AJ was the only one I think spun out, but I kept seeing him spin out. And
he's starting to get it a little bit on that.
But if I was first main event, he looked really good out there. So that's your number six car for your
mm-hmm.
Battleborne Racing
yeah.
guys, and he's getting there. There's a lot of the guys that are getting there, like Greg Lee – Ben Williams is just on a different level. There's something with him, and he just has that car just perfectly pitched. And
I remember when he started doing it, I was mm-hmm. starting to do it too. I was a rookie, and he was, I think it might have been his second year, mm-hmm. first year, second. I don't remember. But he was pretty fresh at it too. And he was not as good as he is now, you know.
I think once you get the habit of, like, keeping it just perfectly sideways, I think it's actually a lot easier than it looks. I know Gary tried it once, and he was like, that's the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, it was fun at first, like the first few times I did it. It was just like, I just cracking up, like, as soon as you knew you were losing it,
yeah.
there was nothing you could do about it. You know, it's like, ha, ha. And when I started trying to get competitive with it, it really started pissing me off.
Bill Paddock just put AJ just wants to stay away from everybody. That's the plan right there, because some of them guys, and they had the rent-a-skid. And I was like, I don't feel like some of those guys really knew what they were in for. And then I started seeing everybody spinning out, and I was like, oh, yeah, here comes the big hit.
Yeah, I was waiting for it, too. There was a couple good little collisions.
Yeah, and the first man, I was standing up on the gate, and when they started all bunched up, you know it's going to happen, because as soon as that first car starts spinning, you can't hit the brakes and actually stop. You just, I feel like as soon as you touch the brake, you're going around. But
yeah you are.
We talked about skid plates, but I don't know if I'd ever do it.
Well, Bill's talking about building another one. You know, we still got those couple ones that we started off with, and those little Ford, were they Ford Focus or Ford? Yeah,
the
Focus
old number, I think they were number three back in the day,
yeah,
or something like that. Yeah,
3 and 9, I think. Yeah. I can't remember the numbers exactly. But, yeah, and we still got them around. They're all caged up and stuff, but the motors are no good. I mean, we could probably make one happen if we used both of them to do it.
I say you build one and put Bill in it.
We used to be in one. Yeah. He was in the green Pontiac, the one I totaled, and he used to be in it because he made it where the door opened. It was the only skid plate the door actually opened and closed, right? And I had a lot of fun in that car, but I completely demolished it. That was a wrap.
I feel like it ain't hard to do in those cars because, like, you have control to a certain point, and then you don't have control, I feel like. But I feel like everybody's learned to spin to the infield. You don't see many guys hitting the outside wall anymore. Because the first couple years, it seemed like everybody just, like, rode the wall and tried to get it to not go all the way around.
I did that the first time I got in a skid plate because we didn't know we had a axle broke. And so, and this fire and safety are helping me push me onto the track because it's just going so, it was going right into them. I'm like, man, why can't I make this thing go straight at least, you know?
Yeah.
So everybody's kind of like pushing me on the track just to get me out of their way, you know? And as soon as I did that, man, I cracked the throttle and, yeah, the passenger wasn't working. I went right into the wall. And so I tried to stay in the wall to get around, to get out of there.
I mean, it's the way to ride. I mean, you know. Except when you hit the exit.
Yeah, that's never no fun. That's never no fun. So when's the next race you guys got going out there in Blyth?
This weekend.
This Saturday night.
This Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I want to make it out to a race out there and come down there. I do.
A big Easter.
Yeah, we're doing Easter weekend this weekend.
Yep.
And then we got a big 2-day show coming up April 20th and 21st down in Blyth.
And that is a Saturday-Sunday race.
It's a Saturday night, Sunday
afternoon.
Morning, afternoon.
What's the room fares out over there? They're pretty decent.
Yep. They're pretty good.
Because I sure ain't going to drive back and come back.
No. And like I cleared up last week, if you do have a motorhome, you cannot sleep in the pits. You can walk. You can drive right outside those gates, and you can do whatever you want outside those gates. And there's a huge
no
parking lot.
No camping
line.
In the pits. But there, like he says, you can go on the other side of the fence.
Your car can stay in the pits as long as it wants, but you cannot actually, like, camp in the pits. And apparently that was a little bit of a misunderstanding the first time we said it. But other than that, I feel like the April 20th and 21st, the truck series will be there, which is always fun at Blyth.
Yes.
Unfortunately for us, it's not that fun. But
what other divisions are you going to be having running out there that night?
Everything like normal, modified, street stocks, factory stocks, legends, bandoleros.
Mini stocks.
So
would that track be easier for a little one to start learning how to? I was thinking about that already once. The car came from there.
Yeah. So you're talking about your daughter, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's 100% in it, and we can make it happen if she wanted a couple laps by herself just to be out there and away from everybody. We would definitely make it happen for you guys because – I mean, the track is a lot different than Vegas. It's not that high banked, like full speed where those guys are never lifting. Here you would actually have to lift, I feel like. We haven't had any bandos show up. Now, back in the day, before it became our track, when it was still Lucas Oil, Ryan Vargas actually had the track record out there, which Ryan Vargas is now Xfinity, and he's also racing in Europe, I want to say. But he's a Bullring kid that came up. So
that might be a little thing I really seriously need to think about because I've thought about it because, you know, she's a smart kid and she's good and everything like that, but it is going to be her first time turning some laps, not from, you know, she goes to Mini Grand Prix. I take her out there, you know, but I don't know, you know, I'm just being a dad.
100%. My daughter is 9 and she wants it so bad. And I debated and debated and debated. I was like, so hard when you're a dad to let your daughter go out there and actually try something like that because you're like, I know the dangers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stupid enough to okay those dangers with myself. I'm like, I know if I hit that wall, it's going to hurt. But it's different when you have zero control. You can talk to her on the radio all you want, but there is zero control when she's actually in that car, and it's all up to her to actually control the car. Like my niece. My niece did it for a few years, and I watched her hit the wall, and it was a gut-wrenching feeling because I was like, that's my that little girl means a lot to me. So I was like, I know how bad that had to hurt.
I know. I was wondering if I could put like a kill switch, like a remote kill switch. You know, like, it looks like it's going bad. Let's shut it down.
That's a dad life.
Shut it down. Hit the brakes.
I get the same way when Wyatt. I've known Wyatt for way too freaking long. I can tell you that. What, 15, 14 years? 13?
Mm-hmm, something
it's
like
been
that.
Up there.
Oh, my Lord.
And it's the same way. Like, if I see him wreck or my brother, it hits different when you're really close to that person and you know him. It's just like if the Jax brothers wreck or Billy would wreck or something, you'd be like, oh, crap. Like, it hits different when you're really close to that person. So,
you know, whenever I watch, you know, like when I'm watching the Jax boys or whatever else, the one it freaked me out the most is when he went full throttle right into the wall when his throttle stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, you know, we're banging stuff up, you know, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, when I watched him full throttle right in that wall, I was like, oh, my God. I was so glad he walked away, obviously,
yep.
You know. It's
yep.
Like a little brother to me nowadays. And, yeah, that was one of the more freakier ones. And even when we were at the Havasu and the other guy, he went right head on, and I was really surprised he walked away. I'm having a brain fart on his name. He's a good dude.
It's different when you're really close or it's a teammate or a friend of yours. And it's even worse when you're in the car and you don't know what's going on to that person and you're stuck in your car on the other side of the racetrack. I went dirt racing, and I watched one of my friends flip. And I looked from the backstretch, and I looked over, and I was like, please let me know he's moving. And then you seen fire and safety give the thumbs up, and I was like, okay, feels a lot better. But when you watch somebody flip, it's and you're already in a car, and you're like, that could be me now. So
yeah, it was Eddie Seacourse. That's what I was talking about. I was having a little thought process problem for a minute. Yeah, he folded it like a like a piano. I don't know if you guys were out there on that one. That's
no, I remember Mark.
It was all over everywhere.
What's his last name? The 82, the orange car. Shriner,
yeah.
I watched Mark Shriner wreck his crap really bad out in Havasu also, the orange 82 car,
black.
And that was...
Not
no,
Havasu.
It was Havasu.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
He wrecked really bad in Havasu also. And that was another one. I'm like, that didn't look good. But
there's a lot of... That track's kind of tiny, and they get a lot of cars on there. It's that place can ruin a car really easy.
He knows all about that track.
I mean, I like going down to Havasu. I don't really like racing there too much. I like to go party.
I think that's the hardest I've ever hit a wall.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Turn 3, man. I guarantee you that was the hardest I've ever hit.
Ouch.
And down there in Havasu.
When was that, back in the day?
That was
yeah.
16, 17.
It was a good minute.
In a bomber or a car?
Yeah, it was before that, I want to say.
Maybe 15, yeah.
Because we were in Pahrump in Vegas in 15, 16.
Yeah, we went from Pahrump 1 week and Havasu the next week.
Yeah.
Oh, Donnie's on there.
Destroyed that car.
We drive down and race and drive home.
Yeah, but not for a 2 day show.
Yeah, that's what
I was
saying.
Just going to say, let's see him do that for a 2 day show.
I was about to tell me I'll split the gas money with you.
The Havasu guys can do that. The Havasu guys are only an hour away if they wanted to drive home, but we're 3 hours and 30 minutes away.
You see what he says? Mark my breath.
Oh, I don't know if you've seen the picture yet. Mark Barth had just joined.
Barth.
And I have a picture, and you know how tiny he is. Bill sent me a picture from Blythe, and Mark stands about that tall on me, and just seeing the picture was hilarious. I was like, wow.
He looks like a kid.
Yeah. But he's one of those guys, he's just like Bill Paddock, who he has to have his whole family racing, Mark Barth down in Blythe. He built mini stocks for him and all of his kids.
He's got a farm of them.
And there's about 8 or 9 mini stocks down there that all belong to him. But he got Sportsman of the Year last year because it takes a lot of dedication to have a full-time job plus run 8 mini stocks and –
I wonder if that's where AJ probably want to take that number 6 car.
That's
down
what
there.
I just said. I said throw some 4 tires on that thing, and
because he went to the Kern County race and did the dirt, I believe,
uh-huh.
out there. He's been like in the dirt thing, but Yeah. Maybe she...
Tell him Blythe will turn right into dirt. I'm telling you, that track runs just like dirt. It's not a bottom feeder track like you get in Vegas where you kind of have to get to the bottom to make it turn. Blythe is like a second to third groove. You hit the bottom and you're sliding. Like, Blythe is just like you... Like, we were trying to teach Arizona, and Arizona's so used to Vegas, and she's going high on the straightaway and, like, driving it into the corner. I was like, you're not going to make it like that. You got to, like, you got to enter your corner a little higher than you ever thought you would. I was like, you pretty much want to act like you're going to hit the wall and then get it to turn.
It happens like that, too. You don't really take the bottom
well,
line.
Some of those kids, some of them guys do. They bounce that shit off the curb. We were down there 2 weeks ago. watching, and we were on the truck series down there, and the factory stocks. I was watching Stacy and them just, they were riding that curb. I'm like, that has to not, but they were like, it's the fast line. That's how we get it to turn. So he had to try it too because his truck wasn't turning for nothing. But it was also raining.
All the trucks wasn't turning for nothing.
It was also raining all day. And
how many truck races do you guys go ahead and do a year or season?
This year is seven.
Seven.
Just seven?
Yeah.
And that's through Cali, Arizona, and all that, right?
Mm-hmm. So we run Blythe, Havasu. We go back to Blythe now. Then we go to Orangeville.
Willow.
Which
Willow
is Willow Springs. It's Rosemont, right?
Rosemont,
California. Then we go to Orangeville.
Yep.
And then we go
back to Vegas or back to Blythe.
When is the Orange Show? They don't do a lot of races.
September.
Do they?
They do a lot of street stock.
A lot of street stock.
I don't think they do a lot of. Do they have factory stock down there?
No.
I know they have Legends. They have a lot of street stock.
I don't have
the
schedule right here, but I think it's September 27th.
A couple of days after my birthday. Maybe I'll have to put on some Hoosiers and see if I can make this thing go a little faster.
Well, I'll say, down in Blythe, we had a $1,500 win street stock race, and Chris Denhurst, I don't know if you know that name, but he drives the factory stock, and he bounces around for a while, but he threw Hoosiers or American Racers in Blythe and went and raced the $1,500 win race in his factory stock. And
in my car, do I have to change my tires?
No. Factory stock's a DOT.
Okay.
But if you want to jump up to a street stock or something, yes, you have to.
They wouldn't have had to run those other ones you're talking about.
Racers, yeah.
Well, they're just like a Hoosier, aren't they?
Yeah.
American Racer 970s, just like the Hoosier.
In my personal opinion, and like I said before, we've done the studies. We've had a guy put American Racers on and pretty much burn them down, run a hot lap, trying to figure it out. And he made almost, what, five races?
Five races.
On a set of American Racers. And he can make, what, two to three on a set of Hoosiers before they completely fall off. So I was like, American Racer, and they're cheaper. So
a lot cheaper.
And I don't think the Bullring lets you run anything but Hoosiers, correct?
Yeah.
Kind of track is their preference type deal.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Well, like with us, we run American Racer. As you see Gary's shirt right now, American Racers. It's really who you want to work with or who works with you the best.
Right, as a track.
And if you get your shipment of these tires and you're guaranteed X amount of tires and there's no, you know, holding out or anything, it's just you get your deal and you go with it.
Yeah, 10-4 on that. I get that.
So and just like Vegas is a Hoosier track, and I think Havasu is also a Hoosier track. Orange Show was an American Racer track. I believe they just switched to Hoosier.
Yes,
but
just this year.
Yeah, it's supply and demand and where you get your stuff. And with us, it's always worked better because we deal with them through the truck series and now the Blythe Speedway. So it works for us.
I got to get a set of those Hoosiers for that Bandolero because I guess they make like a slick now that they're running. But it was kind of I tried to get them last year and it was really hard to get them. So they're like, no, you can just run the regular old tires.
Yeah, but don't those have to come through INEX?
I think so. But I think they're made by Hoosier, though.
Yeah.
Because I was at the INX office getting, you know, some supplies where I was getting that little car ready for Paul. And I seen them. I was like, all right, well, do I got to get those? And they're like, you can't really get them right now. Who has them don't want to release them.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I heard that a lot. Hoosier sometimes, you know, they have a supply issue. And certain people, you know, certain tracks don't get as many as they want or need. And unfortunately, that is the case. But we live in America right now where there's a lot of supply and demand.
For everything. And prices just keep going up really, really high.
Yes, unfortunately, that is true. And we're in auto racing, and we feel that the most.
Oh, yeah.
We feel it pretty bad. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
And especially in the factory stocks, you can't just go to a junkyard anymore and find, like, your Monte Carlo. You can't find a lot of parts for that car.
No, we keep one. We keep one just in case. It's pretty gutted out, but it has a straight body on it. And Bill is going to – he's making some moves and this and that. I said, don't forget, don't get rid of that car. You know what I mean? We got to keep that one around. He's like, what? I was like, we got to keep that one around just in case we need a fender or a door or something. You know what I mean? Like, who knows?
Unfortunately,
don't get rid of it.
Unfortunately, the Crown Vic has become the new popular car for that because they're racing them everywhere now.
Yeah.
I see them traveling in
those
cars.
There's a class for it.
Yeah.
Someone was telling me about it. It's just mainly Crown Vics and
the Caprices.
Yeah.
Like Quartero runs that Caprice, and then
he's got that car pretty dang fast, man. He can make that car do what
that's
he wants.
That's why I was shocked to see him back in the 43 this weekend.
I guess this 44 is giving him troubles because I asked him that, you know, and he's like, ah, man, it's just giving me trouble. So we'll just stick with the Monte right now. I was like, all right, 10-4.
Well, I'll say the only Caprice I ever seen race out there before Jacob had his was Michael Greasy.
Yep.
And unfortunately, he gutted it a little too much, and it got hit by a Monte Carlo. And that was the wreck I was involved in, but it got hit by somebody else. I think Sam Jacks was involved in that too. And it completely folded that Caprice more than it ever should. I was like, yeah, you shouldn't gut that car. Like, that car is already pretty gutted and light. And it got hit by a full-body Monte Carlo, and that thing just folded.
Like with a quarry, huh?
Yeah, that thing was...
oh, man.
I got a picture of all the cars that were involved in that wreck, and my Monte Carlo was bent, but that Caprice was... It was pretty bad. And that was back in, what, like 12 or 13? That was maybe 14? I don't know.
Yeah, it was 12.
I've been around too long.
When is your brother going to go ahead and bring up that street start?
Hell if I know.
We need the car count. I know a few of those other cars that are racing out there in Blythe now, they don't even come and race over at our track anymore. And we're like, man, we're missing cars.
Well,
what was that kid? He races at Caprice, the white and red one.
Dylan.
Dylan?
Yeah.
That was a Ford.
Yeah,
Crown
that
Victoria.
Was a Ford. And he went and he ran with us last year and won the championship. And then I think now from the last I heard, he went road course racing in that.
Really?
I think he completely got away from circle track from what I heard.
Huh.
I think the last update I got was he was down in Kern with the Crown Vic Tour. They got the car count. Those Crown Vics are everywhere right now. So,
well, you can get them for nickels and dimes.
Yeah.
Like police auctions, I think
you
can get them for $500.
I think, well, we got two Crown Vics racing with us right now down in Blythe, Andrew Anderson, but that's a Mercury. It's the same difference, but it's a Mercury Mariner or Mariner.
Mariner.
Yeah, it's a weird, it's just a knockoff Crown Vic pretty much.
They used
much.
To make those with the 5.0s in it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Because now a lot of those Crown Vics are the 4.8s.
Yeah.
But they did do them with the 5.0s.
And then Ashley also has one down there. And
then the 10 car.
Oh, yeah.
How many cars on the factory side do you guys get a weekend or whenever?
Honestly, it varies because last race, we got four from Havasu come down. So it just depends who's racing where. And unfortunately, we're the last to join the party of tracks. So if your home track is racing, you don't come visit us.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's just like
it's cheaper on gas.
You're going to stay loyal to the bull ring. But if you guys aren't racing the bull ring, you might travel down just like we traveled to Vegas. You know, unfortunately, I ain't traveling to Vegas, but we went to Vegas. And
we've been to a lot of tracks. You know, we did that whole Spears tour and stuff like that and been to a lot of tracks. And I mean, I guess it's just probably because, you know, from Las Vegas or whatever, mm-hmm. whatnot. But I mean, I love our track. You know, a lot of the other tracks are really small. Like, you get up there in Roseville, and a lot of the guys love the track. And it's a nice track. It's just really small. The whole ordeal is small about it.
Yeah. I mean, we're spoiled in Vegas, and I raced in Gary ran, what, how many years in Vegas? A lot of years in Vegas.
Yeah.
And, like, we're lucky here because we have the backing from the Las Vegas Motor Speedway with a big track. A lot of tracks like Havasu, they don't have a big track
to deal with.
I get that.
I get that,
it's all family-owned and operated by Bill Rizzone, and It's just like us down in Blythe. We're a small operation, but I promise you, you're going to come to Blythe and feel more welcome than you ever would anywhere else, because everybody there is happy you guys are showing up. Like, we love the car count. And all of us, like Arlie, myself, Gary, Michael, everybody, we're all racers, so we understand, like, what it takes for somebody to travel to come out and hang out with us.
Well, I'll talk to Boss Man and see what he thinks about getting everybody down there. If not, I'd really, like I said, with my little girl, I'd really like to go ahead and probably do that, at least kind of where she can get the feel of it, you know. It's different than being at the little go-kart place.
Yeah. And like I said, my daughter's dying to get one, and I thought about it now that we're running this track, and I was like, you can really learn some stuff, because it's not like it's a really busy yet. You can actually get your feet wet and actually get going on it, and then by the time we get our car count 100% where we want it, you know. And Blythe is such a small town, but the fan base out there, it's a very loyal fan base, and like out here, you guys, I know, like, when Doug Ham wins, the crowd goes wild, because Doug Ham has a lot of fans, like, out in the stockyard and stuff. But, like, in Blythe, if you go down there and you win, you're going to get a standing ovation. Like, the fans down there are just, they love racing, and they're very passionate about their racing.
Well, it's different, like, they're in small towns like that, you know what I mean? Because they don't have what we have here, you know what I mean? Like, meaning, there's all kinds of stuff going on all the time. You know, back when I was younger, and the casinos were not so many of them and stuff. I remember going to the old track and the, you know, the Craig
Speedway.
Yeah, and the stands, you couldn't even get a seat. People were all standing around. We're running underneath the benches and, you know, being a kid.
And that's how it is down in Havasu. Havasu is always packed, and they sell out a lot of shows. And I love that because, again, Havasu is a big little town. It's not a big town, but like Blythe is so much fun because Kevin Trell, I don't know if you know Kevin Trell.
Yeah.
He wrecked his truck pretty bad in Blythe, and he got out of the truck on the back stretch and was walking, and they were throwing him beers over the fence because you can see he was hurting, and they were launching beers to him. And
here, brother.
He had a bad night.
He was just on here a minute ago saying, what's up?
I seen a bunch of people chiming in and out.
Yeah, there is.
There's Jason Solins. I ain't heard that name in a while. He moved.
So I hope Nick gets his car back going. I put it out there. Like, hey, man, I got your back. I'll help you out any kind of way I can. We don't really have an extra spare motor laying around, but might be able to windle up some parts off of something or somewhere. I don't know.
Like I said, I've known Nick for many years, and I was talking to him Friday night, and he thought he was ready, and he was excited about the weekend, but unfortunately practice blew it up. But I knew Nick when he was racing motorcycles, dirt bikes, and getting his butt kicked doing that crap.
You were talking about
I just heard my name.
Oh, boy. Lord. Jesus Christ.
Who let the dogs in?
I just heard my name.
What?
We should have locked the damn door.
Yeah, who opened that door? Look at who just popped in.
Ears must have been ringing.
Look what the cat drug in.
That the dogs wouldn't play with.
You guys said, you just told my favorite story about Blythe.
Well, it wasn't
your favorite
story.
Were you listening
story.
To your phone on the way up the driveway or what?
That's why I heard my name.
Joining the studio right now, we got Kevin Trell.
And it was just a drop-in.
Just a drop-in, but it was a drop-in at the right time.
The man, the myth, the legend is what Steven just said.
So was it Blythe or was it Havasu where they were throwing you the beers?
Blythe.
It was Blythe.
Oh,
yeah.
We had a turn one, lap one kind of melee, and I think his truck was damaged then.
Yeah.
Then.
Have you ever seen anybody, like, get out of the truck and, like, I know this is a red flag. I'm asking, like, the only people that I had around me were the track photographer, and I had the paramedics in the area. And I go, hey, looked at one of the paramedics. I go, do you have a sledgehammer? And he goes, yeah. I said, can I borrow it? And they helped me take the hood off. I hammered it out. It was good. A lot of fun.
He wasn't supposed to do that. Let's just say that. But
it is Kevin Trell, so just remember that.
Right. I'm pretty sure he had something going on in the back of that truck, and all of a sudden it whipped around and he went on into the wall, and his mom is standing behind me, and I'm flagging the race, and his mom's standing behind me losing her mind, freaking out because he hit the wall kind of hard. And I'm looking back, I'm like, he's fine, he's fine. I promise you, he's fine. He gets out and sits on the wall. I was like, he might be in a little bit of pain, but he's walking.
Yeah. Did something in my foot. It was fun. It was fun. But the fans are great. If you're going to go out there, go out there. The fans are awesome.
We're going to go check it out. Like I said, I think it might be the easier way to get little girl turning in that car. I don't know. You know, just like I said, being a dad, trying to figure it all out. I'm scared. I ain't gonna lie.
And... I would say it's easier to do it on a smaller track than Vegas, because Vegas, some of those kids are fearless and they are not lifting. You work for U.S. Legend Cars. You understand those bandoleros.
I don't even know what those cars look like.
Some of those, you wish you didn't.
Some of those cars do not lift and they are hauling around that track. And
yeah,
it's like they wind up, you know, the first couple of laps and they just get faster and faster and faster.
It's funny because when you watch it from the stands, they're like, they look like they're going so damn slow. And then they look at the times, and they're running times that you guys are running in the factory stock.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the sad – like, it's sad because it looks so much slower. But when it's a small car like that, it looks like it takes forever. It looks like NASCAR at Daytona is what it looks like.
Yeah.
All those little freaking
– Well, when we put that car back together last year, and we threw my brother in it, JJ, and he's out there on the pavement in front of the shop. And he's zipping up, and then he's zipping down, and I'm like, holy shit, this thing is fast. You know
without restrictor
in the neighborhood,
plates.
It's fast.
Without restrictor plates, how fast do they run? They can pick up some speed.
About
right?
70, 75 miles an hour. I'm guessing. I haven't really.
And that right there for an 8-year-old to be doing anywhere close to that is a little scary.
I always tell parents it's a little above freeway speed.
Yeah.
And I always say it was like, but they're safer in that race car with that roll cage and those fire, you know, the fire like suits and helmets and shoes than you are driving down I-15 any day.
Yeah, I got to figure out how to tune it down a little bit. I know Ronnie, you know, he did all this stuff with the Jax Boys for so long with the Bandos, and we're gonna tune it down a little bit for a second, but I don't think I'm gonna put her in a real race. That one's coming up. Is it fifth, right? The fifth and sixth?
But we got throwback night coming up, yeah.
I'm going to practice a couple. I'm not throwing it right into a race.
Let's put some cones out in the parking lot.
I like that idea a lot. Bill keeps trying to get us to do that because he's going to pick up another bando for Billy's son, Junior's son. Yeah,
I got a brand new one at the shop. Just came in today.
I keep telling him, but he ain't hearing me too well. Well, he's hearing us right now because he's watching. Trust me.
You know he can hear Kevin. I got a brand new one at the shop. Just came in today.
You don't want to put a new kid in a new bando.
Why?
Because I would get a used bando.
That's what I did.
Why? That is, there's no problems with it. You got to remember, it's a new car. There's no bad mojo.
Sell them down.
There's no bad mojo in this thing.
Now, you picked up your bando. It was already wrecked, right?
It was wrecked, yeah.
And then you and Steven, I want to say, put it all back together.
Yeah, we put it back together. That was fun. I was down at the bando shop getting some lead, I think, for us to put in our cars. And I asked the one guy who was running at the time. I'd never seen that man again. I think Chris took over after that for him.
It was Bear, yeah. That was when Bear was still there.
And then he's like, no, I got one right here. Here it is. I was like, all right, well, I guess we're getting closer. The whole front clip, you know, I was like, all right, I guess we're getting closer. But I gotta do some changes on it. Kevin was telling me that I messed up on a little spot, so I'm gonna fix that this week or next week, this week. So
I mean, that's the way to do it. I mean, because then if something happens, you're like, look, I know that car is safe. I put that shit together. Like,
no, yeah.
I mean, we got some good guys in Charlotte that are putting these cars together. I mean, we're not just picking everybody off of Craigslist. There might be a couple of people out there that we're grabbing from Craigslist, but.
Nobody at the Home Depot is coming down building them.
No.
Definitely from Lowe's.
A little higher quality.
Yeah, I want to see Kevin get in a bando. I know you could fit.
I could still fit. I haven't been in a bandolero.
I mean, I know you got a dad bod going on.
Got a big dad bod going on.
Not as bad as Miller.
Hey, he's working on it.
I did hear he came over to talk to us this weekend, and he did say he's working on his little dad bod. I'm like, I remember like 8-9 years ago. You were tiny.
I was tiny. Yeah.
And you're not tiny no more.
Mm-mm.
You got to grow up sometime, right?
I didn't grow up. I grew out. I grew out. That's for sure.
How long have I known you for? Many years. I don't think you ever grew.
About 20 years, yeah.
It's been way too freaking long.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been going out to, I've been racing for about 30 years.
Because you drove the 3 car back in the day, right?
Yeah, the 3 car, and then we changed the number to the 23 once we got connected to the Clarks, and then from the Clarks we went to the 29, and
it's been around. And now what number are you? Oh, Lord, Miller just joined, too.
Oh, man. It's all
I'm waiting for another knock on the door.
He heard about the dad bod thing. I was just curious about the ultrasound, you know, boy or girl.
He's
playing, brother.
He's getting big.
But are you going to go ahead and do the truck thing still? Or you've kind of been...
It's going to go back to Gary's shop. It's going to go ahead and get fixed. I'm just super busy with the Cars Tour and stuff like that and Bull Ring and stuff. So I don't want to, you know, keep Gary from either renting the truck out. You know, if Gary wants me to come back and run it after we fix it, then definitely I'm not going to say no. Am I going to go to Blythe and race it? I'll have to get more seat time. I'm 2 for 2 at Blythe all by myself. So I don't want to wreck again, that's for sure. That's not fun.
Yeah,
But no, I'll tell you right now, the truck's
But let's make it clear. Your fault.
It's not the track's fault.
Okay.
So the first one was...
The first one was 100% your
fault.
My fault. He tried to pass Gary, Mr. Wyatt, over here.
And here's the thing is, I want to say you're completely 100% wrong on turning.
No.
Hold on, because I was listening earlier, and Justin said that you want to wait until the very, very last minute until like you're going to feel like you're hitting the wall, and then turn left. I did exactly that.
No, you waited a little too long. You waited until you were already in the wall, and then turned.
I was just trying to set Gary up. Gary's got that bad water line sometimes.
Did it work?
It worked
for
you.
45 seconds until he was backwards into a wall.
But the second time, Justin was going to get to this, there was a failure in the truck. The whole rear end decided it wanted. It didn't go. It didn't Marco Andretti it, but it damn near did. And it was just one of those things that came out of two. And then I felt, didn't hear anything, but I felt a clunk, and the whole ass of the truck went down, and I was spinning in a heartbeat.
Oh, no.
Remember that sledgehammer he was talking about earlier?
He needed a bigger one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But I'll tell you right now, like I said, going back to the fans of Blythe, when I was walking back, one of the dudes goes, "You need a beer?" And I said, "Hell yeah." And he threw the beer over, and it was a Michelob Ultra. I drank that, and I was walking back off the track, and I stopped to talk to Gary for a little bit and drinking the beer. Then I realized, hey, you run this track. Hey, I'm drinking right now. And he goes, "It's all right. I know you're not going to drive anything. You ain't got nothing else to wreck." And I'm like, "You got a point." And then as I was walking back off, and there was, again, another fan goes, "You need another drink?" And I go, "Depends what you got." And I think it was like he had a natural ice and like some tea something, but a twisted tea. And I picked the twisted tea and I dropped it, and then I had to chug it in the backstretch because I dropped it. It felt bad.
Those things will get you twisted.
But,
oh, yeah.
No, it was fun. I mean, his fans are good. That's for sure.
We're going to see. I'll talk to Boss Ben and see if we can get some of us to get down there.
I got a 13 truck sitting there if we want to.
As we're speaking of this, I need to throw this out there. We do rent trucks. We have a good
– Do you accept food stamps?
That's good.
I know a girl in the hood. I could probably get him cheap.
We do have a couple of trucks ready to rent.
13 will be ready in a little bit.
It's just not ready.
It's not ready right now.
It's not ready for the next race.
Everything else is fast. It's just...
Is this the legendary truck you were speaking of?
Yeah,
I'm all right.
We don't need to re-bend the truck.
So is it just rear clip it?
Not even the rear clip. We just got to knock a couple things in the front over. We'll be good.
Torches, a little bit of heat, hammer.
So
come along.
Speaking of that, the car Gary raced this weekend when we owned it before.
Yeah, let's figure out what happened this weekend. On what?
We're listening. What do you want to think?
That car was completely bent at one point when it was the 01, the General, and it was straightened using that light pole right outside.
Oh, you were telling us that story. It was that same car, right?
Yeah, it was that car right there. And Wade Pearson and my brother Gary got into it, and they ended up not playing nice together, if that's a nice way to say that. And,
oh,
yeah. And the front of the 01 was bent.
Weren't you and Wade like best friends with...
No, my brother Gary, not Gary.
Oh.
And that him and Wade were not, no.
No.
They were rivals.
All right.
For many years. But now that car was all bent, and Gary was like, I got it fixed, trust me. That car was insanely fast. I think he went out the next time, and if it wasn't for Aaron McMorrin, that car would have sat on the pole. If it wasn't for Aaron McMorrin.
The second fastest time of the night. Aaron was pretty quick, huh?
Aaron had an unfair advantage in that car. I don't know what El Diablo ever had in it, but that car was...
That's the same one. El Diablo is the one that...
Is that the one Miller has now?
I don't remember. They've played so many...
They play musical cars.
Yeah, I don't even know what's what.
But that 21 car, it's fast also. But Aaron had that 22 car. I don't know if you ever raced against Aaron McMorrin.
Only a couple of times whenever he jumps in, like, Pete's car.
He had that 22 car going on the outside. Like, he would get in the second groove and pass you like you were sitting still. And it wasn't just one person. It was a lot of people he was passing. I was like, damn. But Aaron's a hell of a driver. And unfortunately, we don't get to see him in a race car very often. But I think he jumped in Miller's car last year, I want to say, for that one night.
Yeah, Miller was going. He did something.
He was off. Yeah.
Disneyland or something like that.
He was in Disneyland.
Yeah.
And McMorrin drove his car last year, I want to say. Or was it 2 years ago?
I don't know. I want to be in Disneyland right now.
Me too. I don't know. That trip's coming up soon. The kid's on my bumper about it.
What does she want, a bandolero or Disneyland? Because
she already got the bando, so she's on my bumper about Disneyland. You already know.
That shit gets expensive.
No.
Disneyland.
It's cheaper to go down to Disney World.
Listen here, Mr. Disneyland.
What are you talking about?
I feel like you spent a lot of time there.
I love that place.
You're one of the seven dwarfs, aren't you?
I wish I was. I wouldn't be paying so much to get in.
Right?
That's the truth.
But let's continue to talk about Vegas this weekend. We had the late models went. They went green to checkered almost on both races. No cautions, right?
I'll be completely honest. Here's the thing. I paid attention to bandos and I paid attention to legend cars.
Clearly, you paid attention to those factory stocks because you knew our weekend didn't go well.
No, well, that probably went through the pits. That's exactly. I when you're sitting in the tech area and you watch Gary drive by and there's still cars on the track, you know it didn't go well.
5 laps later. But
I don't think I have ever pulled off like that. Five car. Laps into the race. Oh, that's okay.
And that's the thing.
That's all right.
Let's
get that car going.
That car has bad. Like, it really wasn't. It's a brand new motor, brand new transmission. It's brand new everything. Like, that car we went completely through that car. That was not anybody else's mess up. Like, my brother mentioned, it's too much of this team or too much of this team. I think you know what team I'm talking about.
I don't know.
There was a team out there for a while that my brother got hooked up
with,
and the car went completely backwards.
We'll get it figured out.
But it's all brand new stuff. I mean, it's
I hope so.
I know what you're talking about now. Take me a second. We're in Florida? Yep, maybe.
I don't know.
Okay, we're good.
He's a NASCAR mechanic. So we were told.
Yes, we'll get that car figured out. It's all right.
But I want to send a huge shout out to Mark Allison. That car, I don't know if you've seen Mark Allison's car, that 5 late model. It's like 25 years old.
It had the open motor in it, didn't it?
It should not be competing against these cars that are out there now. And he drove from 12th to 5th and passed a lot of people that should not have been passed.
I'm pretty sure he had an open motor. And he has old tires.
Yeah, and old tires on that thing. I'm telling you. Mark, but if you look
I'm pretty sure he had an open motor. He's going against the legend car to Bandolero class. It's fine.
Go look at that car next time you see it out there. Trust me, that thing.
And Mark Allison can wheel it. Let's be
Mark
real.
Mark is a hell of a wheel man. He did it again in the second main, and he finished fourth, and he passed TJ Roberts. And we were looking at times, and we're standing there. I'm looking at times. I was like, he's faster than the leader right now, and that was on lap 30.
Open motor.
But he was consistent the whole race.
Still on that one. Open motor.
He just doesn't want to admit.
He just don't want to admit that Mark can drive.
I know. I've raced against the man.
Mark,
I know it. He can wheel the car.
Mark is
sure.
One of our very loyal late model truck series drivers and 4-time champion in the late model truck series. And
Gary, where are you at points this year? In what? In the trucks? Fifth.
What the hell are you doing in fifth?
Out there playing.
All right.
He had to go to Havasu. And
what happened in Havasu? I didn't know.
It got rained out. We got rained. We were the only race of the night that got rained out. We were the last main event.
So what happens? What happens to the
we ran, we ran a heat race.
So
that's where we ended up, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But it is what it is. And
so are you going to make a makeup race on that? Do a double feature?
No, because they're about ready to end their series.
Yeah. It's not like we can reschedule with Havasu, hey, drop us in on this night. It's just, unfortunately, it is what it is. And
well, I know some people that know some people. That know
I
some
bet
people.
You, I bet
but
you do
mine
know
some people.
People
that if Bill's got an extra night.
Yeah,
but I believe he's only got two races left in his season.
Time.
I believe
season is almost over.
No, it is almost over. That's true.
And it can't.
You know, I can't do anything with the boring, but I can't help out with other places.
It can't conflict with truck series race that we already have planned and us with Blythe
because
we're kind of busy. Well,
still think the truck should go to Kern. Yeah? Yeah.
Not on the big track.
Why not?
Hell no, not on the big
track. Why not? Hold on. Because these same trucks used to go to Mason Marin back in the day. Why can't they run Kern?
Kern has two different tracks.
Kern does now.
Yeah.
Oh, really? They're two different locations or some locations?
Infield, right?
They got an infield track.
Yeah, they have. Like,
that's because in Kern, that's where we park is on the infield, isn't
but
it?
No, they're still parking on the infield, but they do. Once Tim Huddleston, he took over the track, he worked with Ricky Schlick. Ricky Schlick went out there with the Legend car, and they actually put cones up, and I was actually going to go out there for that test, and I just never made it. But they put cones up, figure out how big of a track they wanted to do.
Because they got a smokehouse in the pit.
They still have the smokehouse. It's still there.
All right, that's a real small track, man.
I mean, it's providing the band of letters. It's huge.
And the Caprice track. That's where they're going to race the Caprice.
The Crown Vic.
Crown Vic's, yeah.
Because I want to say Dylan was just down there the last I heard.
He was head first in the wall there. I was watching that race in my little room because I didn't make it out to that race. I was on the computer talking back and forth with Joey Mancari. And, I thought he was going to go head onto the wall.
That's going to be interesting.
I've done that once or twice.
Because I know we're going to do a few of the Spears races, and I think we probably hit Kern. We were going to do them all, but it's just – all the rain and everything else, they haven't even really got a chance to launch a race with the Spears.
No, they haven't, not yet. So you guys are going to run all the modified races then?
They were going to. I mean, there was talks of doing a few, like when Roseville was going to be closed down. I guess someone else bought Roseville, so it's not
going to be. Jim Huddleston.
He's not going to be closed down now. So,
do you guys not know this? Like, are you guys not in the know?
Is he, like, buying everything?
He must be buying everything.
It's Tim Huddleston. This is just, you know, I know he purchased Kern.
Because he had Irwindale, and
he
purchased Kern.
He leases Irwindale, and then he purchased Kern.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bill McAnally, we all know that, you know, his mm-hmm. truck team's growing and growing and growing. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to be able to spend that much time. I want to say they're going to have, like, two races, and that was over at Roseville.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim stepped up. He asked, hey, can I take over the lease and run the place. He's running Roseville as well.
Yeah, we're talking about you being busy.
Yeah. Yeah, Roseville is fun to go to. They got some really good food up there, too.
So does Havasu.
Nah, they got probably the best carne asada I've ever ate in my life. That's just an off the
subject. I don't know if that Kern County's got, that smokehouse is delicious.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. We go into town, and there's this butcher shop, and they're, like, cutting up a whole cow right then and there doing it. Like, it's wow. happening. There's, like, 6 or 7 essays just chopping this this biggest cow up. And they're like,
a racing show always goes to food. It always goes to food.
And that's the greatest thing to do. Like, the coolest thing to do is when you travel.
When you travel is
get food.
Yep.
I'm like some of my coolest stories, like traveling with Aaron and everybody during like
the modified tour
stuff, was stopping at like the most random places, not just for food, but I remember I was driving one time. Aaron was in the back sleeping, Miller sitting next to me, and I look at Miller and I show him, hey, I go, we're really close to a zoo, and he goes, what? I'm like, yeah, if we pull up to a zoo, the knucklehead in the back's gonna be super excited. We know that, you know, Carl's going to be pissed because we're going to miss first practice, but this guy's going to be able to see otters. So, we pulled into, we went to the zoo in the morning. Carl's calling us, like, figuring out where we are, and we're like, oh, we're still driving. But we were feeding giraffes, and it was the coolest stop. And we just random places that we did.
Miller kept talking about some
Pokemon Go.
I do remember that.
I never played it. But those knuckleheads played Pokemon Go like it was going out of style. We were at freaking Rocky Mountain, and we're stopping everywhere because there's a Pikachu. And I'm like, dude, stop it, bud.
I do remember Madeira chasing the rat out of the kitchen.
Was that Madeira?
Yes, that was Madeira. We were down in Madeira, and we were ordering food, and the lady starts screaming that there was a rat in the kitchen. So Kevin, Aaron, me, Matt Frady, and I want to say there was somebody with Miller.
No, that was just
was
it.
Miller there?
I don't know where. Yeah, I think Miller was
and
there.
And Aaron McMoran and him are under this table, and a rat's flying by, and you're using brooms and shit to smack it. It was eventful.
Yeah.
That was pretty.
Yeah.
Good memories.
And then there's that one time. This is a pretty cool story.
Oh, Lord.
It got us in trouble. So we were in Havasu, and we went to, usually whenever the modded tour was down to Havasu.
Is this the karaoke bar?
I don't know where we went at this time, but it was always spring break, so there was always something to do. And Carl would always tell us, like, hey, make sure you go to bed and you get some sleep so we can be successful the next day. Oh, yeah, not a problem. We woke up, I think it was like 1 or 2 in the morning. I called Carl. And I said, oh, Carl, we're screwed. And he goes, what are you talking about? I go, we fucked up. We drove to Phoenix. Aaron got arrested. And, like, we played it off up until the morning. We show up to the racetrack. Carl is loading the car up. Carl's loading everything up in the trailer. And I'm like, he really wasn't arrested. I even went to, like, the Ralphs and got him, like, I'm sorry card and some flowers and stuff. And yeah, he didn't like that one at all. But, yeah, we used to play stupid pranks on people. But we were dumb.
It sounds like good times right there.
We used to.
You probably have some travel stories with you guys. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Bill was wanting to kick my butt every morning when we were at Denny's. I can't even eat Denny's no more. Doing the whole Spears thing, can't even do it. Because every place that we stayed at, like the Marriott and all the other places, who he has hooks up with, there's a Denny's in front of the place. So
that seems to be the in Blythe. We stay at the hotel in Blythe, and right across the street is the Denny's that you find him at every Saturday night.
I will never try to order a steak from Denny's again.
Stop, because you go to Denny's all the time out here too.
No.
Oh, do that.
We used to go to the Iron Skillet.
Uh-huh. Iron Skillet's are pretty good.
But
what?
The Iron Skillet back in the day was different. They changed a lot in the Iron Skillet lately.
That's where that's the one by the Speedway.
Yeah,
now,
the truck
right?
stop.
Yeah. They're not even open after the race is over.
Right.
That's
why we go to Denny's, because nothing else is open.
Ron, and the Jax boys, we were like, hey, man, we're starving, And so we were like, let's go check out the they're closed.
Because we used to run into the Jax boys there all the time with Ronnie and them.
So I remember me and Klein. I went out of Klein's shop for a little bit in the Legend Cars. And we used to go to the Iron Skillet all the time because it was right next door. And we would always sit in the same seat. Always. one time he decided he wanted to put a piece of watermelon on the fork that was hanging on the wall. That watermelon was on that wall for a good 2 months before, like, we finally said, hey, you guys know this was a real watermelon at one point? And it was, like, shriveled up and gross. Yeah, it was disgusting.
Sounds like a really clean place.
Bill's making fun of me about my wallet. I don't know if you see the comment. We were in Roseville, and me and the Jack boys, Ron, all them, we flew in. And I can't do those trips like that.
You flew in?
Yeah, we flew in, absolutely. Can't do those trips like that.
Oh, no.
Anyways, me and Derek, we go party that night, whatever else, and we're supposed to leave, catch the airplane. I'm supposed to catch the airplane, and I ain't got my wallet. I ain't got my wallet. We can't find my wallet. We tear this place up and down. And Bill's like, get your ass in the back of the semi. I was like, oh, this is really going down. I'm so pissed off. We're in almost Reno, and this girl I met at the bar or whatever else, calls me, and she's like, hey, I got your wallet. It was in the front seat of my car. I'm like, God damn it. So I had to go all the way back, and Bill made sure I was miserable the whole entire time. I'm in the sleeper. He's like, how can you be miserable? You're in the sleeper. And I'm like, Bill, love Bill. And, so they've never let me let that one down. The girl actually did send it through the mail, but she said the post office wouldn't let her send the cash with my wallet. So it cost me like $400.
I feel like that might have been a lie.
Yeah, they don't ever check what's in there, so.
Right. That's what I said, too. But, hey, you know what? I didn't have to go to the DMV, Social Security, all the other stuff, so whatever. But, yeah. So that's
you got your wallet back.
It's the same wallet in my pocket right now. That same wallet.
Man.
So now,
the moral of the story is don't get drunk.
So the moral of the story
is, or leave it in the front seat of somebody's car.
Right.
I have two licenses, so next time we were supposed to go up to Roseville, I was just going to leave my wallet at the place and just put my ID and some cash in my pocket. And, hey, if it is, it is what it is. It is.
So we got less than 4 minutes left. I know how this usually goes, Rob. Is there any sponsors you want to thank before we...
Well, Doritos, Gatorade, Baby Jesus. Well, you already know, Battleborn Racing, my teammates, my fans, my friends, my mom's even watching this right now, Big Bill Paddock, Sunrise Enterprise, Las Vegas Toro Rentals, and who else we got? Sunrise Fence. I think I'm going to put a sticker of Sunrise Fence on my car here in a second.
And everybody on the east side.
And everybody on the east side.
The funny thing, small world is, he is best friends with, like, my whole cousin's on the east side. He knows them all.
I probably know them too, but I was at Harbor Freight the other day, and I'm shopping.
You saw another cousin of mine.
And I walked down an aisle, and this girl keeps staring at me.
I'm Steve. Sorry, Doug.
I was like, who the hell is this? And I was like, you kind of look, man. I walked down like three more aisles, and she looks at me again and goes, hi, Justin, how are you? And I was like, hi? I'm like, I have no clue who you are. And I'm thinking that Andrew Bowles walks around the corner, and you know Andrew from the east side. It was his wife or girlfriend, Ray Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew walks around and goes, yeah, I seen you guys out at the bull ring. We were out there hanging out with Rob P. I'm like, why the fuck does everybody know Rob P?
Everybody. I'm kind of like a household name. From old bad days to old good days today, you know? It's viral by Rob P.
Like, I randomly, like, I look at Facebook one morning, and also I'm like, why the hell is Rob P with both my cousins? Like, this is weird.
It's like Stephen Proctor and Alex Speakman and all them guys. Like, I knew them guys when they were, like, that big, and we were all growing up, and now I see him at the bull ring all the time, and they're like, yeah, we're out here to support Rob. I'm like...
So we got a couple seconds.
Hey, you know my babe mom, too, Jessica Brown.
Yes, what about Blythe? When's the next Blythe race?
This Saturday.
You heard.
You had to listen to
this
part of this show.
Oh, no. He heard his name. He heard my name, and then I popped in. I'm like, Beetlejuice.
We're ready to Blythe this weekend. I hope to see everybody down there. It was a good show. Thank you for joining us. The music means that we are out of time.
All right.
Thank you, Kevin, for coming in out of nowhere.
Thank you,
Rob. Rob was a planned guest today.
Thanks for coming in, Rob.
You're
Kevin, anytime. You want to stop in? Stop in.
You know that. Clearly he knows that.
Glad to see you off the couch. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys.